All Indiana Politics
is your premier source for Indiana politics.
Focusing on issues that matter to you.
I still want us to be the best in the Midwest.
We can't afford another lockdown.
Give the citizens of this country the relief they need.
Education in the state of Indiana remains priority number one.
In-depth, nonpartisan coverage.
We don't know exactly where the economy will be in January.
People are worried with good reason.
Exclusive interviews with Indiana's political leaders.
We have the resources here in the state of Indiana to care for those who are in need.
Expert analysis on critical legislation.
We need to reform those laws.
This recovery is going to take some time.
We've got to anticipate that there'll be a budget shortfall.
From Wish TV, this is All Indiana Politics Podcast on the All Indiana Podcast Network.
And good morning. Welcome to another edition of All Indiana Politics on this Sunday. We're now just about 24 hours away from the start of Indiana's special legislative session and the legislative fight over abortion. The first hearings on the plans will be held on Monday. The bill presented by Senate Republican leaders would ban abortion in the state. It would include exceptions for rape, incest, and the life of the mother. It would not include any new criminal penalties for patients or doctors. They also plan additional funding for social programs to help new and expectant mothers.
We want to be very clear about what this bill does not do. This bill does not affect access to the morning after pill, also known as Plan B, or any other method of birth control. This bill does not affect treatment of miscarriages, treatment of ectopic pregnancies. It does not affect in vitro fertilization procedures. It does not prohibit ending a pregnancy when the unborn child would not be able to survive due to a fatal fetal anomaly. And it does not criminalize women seeking an abortion.
This is an outright ban on abortion. There are no time period exceptions for abortion under this legislation. In addition, the exception for the life of the mother still does not consider her health as a consequence of having a child.
You know, this is a tough issue for a lot of us. And I think it's the conversations within the legislature are similar to those outside of the legislature. I mean, there are differences of opinion from, I think everyone has sort of a little bit different or nuanced opinion on this subject. And it speaks to the complicated nature of this issue. And so, my hope is that we can find a balanced approach that acknowledges the fact that it's a nuanced issue.
Let's welcome in Mike Fichter, who's the CEO of Indiana Right to Life, weighing in on maybe the issue of the moment. You've seen the Senate's proposed bill on abortions. It includes exceptions for rape, incest, life of the mother. Initially, you responded with a statement that makes it very clear you're not happy at all with this, are you?
No, this bill is completely unacceptable from a Republican supermajority at the State House. This is clearly designed to accommodate polling instead of honoring what Republicans have told the voters for years that they would do if Roe is reversed. And when you look at SB1, it actually allows late-term abortions to continue in Indiana, including partial birth abortions, which are never necessary to save the life of the mother. It also has severe enforcement issues with it. So in a county like Marion County, where the county prosecutor has already stated very clearly that he's not going to enforce any law that the legislature passes on this, there will be no criminal liability for anyone who is violating the law once it's passed. There will be no enforcement on this. I think it's very telling when you look at SB1 that this actually requires the Department of Health to set new rules for current and future abortion clinics in Indiana. That's a very explicit statement on there that clearly identifies the goal here is not to end abortions in Indiana. The goal of this legislation is really to accommodate abortion in Indiana. And I really think it's being based on polling rather than what Republicans have promised the voters.
The Senate jumped out of the gate first with this. Do you get a sense of what the House plans, and are you more pleased with that direction?
We know in the House so far, legislation has been introduced to provide very strong financial packages to services that really support and care for pregnant mothers in Indiana. And that gets two thumbs up because the House is clearly listening to the message. They understand that Hoosier values say, let's care and love for pregnant mothers in Indiana. So the House is doing its part to really come alongside with these strong packages to help pregnant mothers in the state of Indiana. So it looks great on the House side from what's being introduced, but all of the problem now is on the Senate side.
So we can understand where clear lines are. Would Right to Life accept any abortion ban that does include any exceptions, for instance, rape, abortion, life of the mother?
We have always made it clear that everyone deserves a chance to be born. We've said that from day one in this entire discussion. We understand the legislature is going to have a discussion on this. They always will have discussions on these types of situations. But those discussions we have urged from day one. They need to be done with love and compassion towards the mom, also towards the baby. Our position with all of this has been everyone deserves a chance to be born. That's what we've always put forward consistently with this. And again, as we look at what's been introduced, it's very clear they're trying to accommodate polling numbers on this.
If it should move forward, would you then encourage the governor to veto it if it does pass through both chambers?
We will see what it looks like when it gets to the final stages of this. In its current form, Senate Bill 1, in its current form, we will not support.
We saw a letter this week from the ACLU said to have the signatures of some 200 or more Indiana business owners on it, asking lawmakers not to impose an abortion ban. Your take on that letter and how much the business community's feelings on this should or can weigh into the issue?
Well, this is really democracy in action right now. So all of Indiana has opportunity to weigh in on this. Certainly businesses have opportunities to weigh in on this. But churches, ministries, individuals, everyone has their voice in this discussion right now. But I think it really gets back to, when you look at Republican supermajorities, how did Indiana end up with Republican supermajorities? The vast majority of Republicans in the House and the Senate have consistently run as pro-life candidates. They won these seats to create these supermajorities. Every statewide office holder in Indiana is pro-life. Indiana is a pro-life state. So really, what has to be taken into account here is these supermajorities, all these state office holders that ran as pro-life Republicans, now that Roe is reversed, what did they pledge to the voters? What did they promise to the voters and present themselves as they ran for office? So that's very key with this. But certainly, this is a time for all Indiana to weigh in on this. And we're making our position very clear, as are others. But this is a time to show that we value all life, including unborn children and pregnant mothers.
Mike Fichter, CEO of Indiana Right to Life. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
All right, coming up, does the proposed abortion ban go far enough? And what about Todd Rokita's investigation of an Indianapolis abortion doctor? We put those questions to former Indiana Attorney General Curtis Hill next on All Indiana Politics.
Thought about podcasting? The All Indiana Podcast Network can help you create, produce, and distribute your podcast for businesses, churches, organizations, or just for fun. Get the details when you email contact@allindianapodcast.com.
Let's welcome in former Indiana Attorney General Curtis Hill. Curtis, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
First question right off the top, what is your opinion on the Supreme Court overturning Roe versus Wade?
Well, it's a monumental decision in so much as it reversed the law for 49 years. There were two things that were really going on in Dobbs. One was the Mississippi law that called for restrictions and was really about the 15 weeks. But what the Supreme Court did was it went ahead and went past the 15-week restriction issue and determined that that the court, this court, really should not have engaged in the constitutionality of abortion in the first place and returned the question or the issue back to the state. So while people are talking about a great victory, it certainly is a reset button, but it's really the beginning of a process now for states to actually determine for themselves what the course of action will be relative to the medical procedure of abortion, but more importantly, relative to the issue of life. This is an opportunity for state legislatures to define what life and humanity is all about for the unborn.
And starting next week, right here in our own state, we are going to start this conversation. Senate GOP leadership came out with their proposed legislation yesterday, and it does ban, with the exception of rape, incest, life, and the life of the mother. Do you think it goes far enough?
Well, I think that this is absolutely an opportunity for the General Assembly to draw the line in the sand on the definition of life. The issue of pregnancy that occurs as a result of a forced occurrence or rape is absolutely a heartbreaking decision or issue. But I think that the General Assembly has to take a position that it's going to stand for life, support life, and be on the offense in this matter, because whatever they put together is going to be challenged going forward.
Now, Ryan Mears, the Marion County prosecutor, has said that he will not prosecute anybody in Marion County who either performs an abortion or has an abortion. You, as the former Attorney General, State of Indiana, would you step in on those cases?
Well, the Attorney General doesn't have the authority to step in on those cases. I know Ryan Mears, I think he's a good man, but he's wrong on this issue. I was a prosecuting attorney for a number of years, and prosecutorial discretion is an important aspect of that position, a fundamental aspect of that position. But prosecutorial discretion relates to the individual case at hand and making a determination of how to proceed with the particular law. It does not provide any prosecuting attorney the authority to subvert the will of the General Assembly. So making a declaration that a particular Indiana statute will not be enforced in a particular jurisdiction welcomes or invites intrigue, and I don't think is appropriate.
The current Indiana Attorney General, Todd Rokita, has been investigating the abortion of a 10-year-old from Ohio. And the doctor, Dr. Bernard, who performed that abortion, is now claiming that Rokita defamed her in some way. What are your thoughts?
Well, I've seen a little bit of that information. One would hope that the Attorney General had his facts straight before he made comments. I will leave that up to those who are investigating the process to make that determination.
Next week, when the Indiana General Assembly comes back and abortion is going to be a big topic, what else do you expect to see out of the General Assembly?
Well, I hope to see courage. You know, a lot of these folks have run on the position of being pro-life for their entire careers and really have gotten a pass, because Roe v. Wade and the Casey decision really blocked the real need to show genuine courage in terms of what would you actually do if you had the chance. Well, now our folks in the General Assembly have the chance to demonstrate what they genuinely feel about life. There's certainly several parameters. I mean, think about this. A couple of years ago, most of these folks would be happy with an opportunity for 15 weeks. So now there's an opportunity to actually make a statement about what life is. You know, in the state of Indiana, if you intentionally kill another human being, we call that murder. That unborn baby is a human being. So this could be quite simple in the sense of qualifying the unborn child as a full human being in that sense. And the statutes can be very, very simple in how they're interpreted.
Former Indiana Attorney General Curtis Hill, thank you for joining us this morning.
All right, coming up, Indiana's best political team joins us to talk about the 2 weeks ahead for state lawmakers next on All Indiana Politics. Welcome back to All Indiana Politics as we welcome back in two members of Indiana's best political team, Republican Whitley Yates and Democrat Brian Gaddy. Good to see you both. We've talked about the Senate version of the abortion ban so far in this show. Whitley, let's start with you this week. Does this bill go far enough for most Republicans, and will this version be the version that reaches the governor's desk?
I think that the bill definitely goes far enough, and I do think that it will be the one that reaches the governor's desk. They are going to hear testimony and hear from their constituents, and I hope that they take what they hear into account when crafting the legislation that they do send to the governor. But I do think that it is reminiscent of not only what the elected officials believe is right, but what Hoosiers all around the state are requesting and asking for.
Brian, your thoughts on this bill?
Hoosiers do not want our state to be a draconian state where we ban abortion in all cases except for rape, incest, and the life of the mother. If you look at polls, the majority of Hoosiers support Roe v. Wade. So I don't know what polls Whitley's looking at, because the majority of Hoosiers support a woman's right to choose.
Well, we just heard from the right to life, though, Brian, as you know earlier in the show, that says this doesn't go far enough.
Well, that's right. Well, that's they're entitled to their position. That's what makes America great. Everybody's entitled to believe what they want to believe. But if you look at most polls here in the state of Indiana, most Hoosiers support a woman's right to choose. It is a minority, a very vocal minority, I might add, but a vocal minority who believes that women should not have the right to have complete autonomy over their bodies. And yet this is the party that claims to be for small government, to keep government out of people's lives. But yet there's nothing more big government than some legislator that's probably in his 60s or 70s telling a woman what to do with her body. I mean, talk about hypocrisy. I mean, you can't get more hypocritical than that.
Whitley?
Listen, we are giving women the right to choose. The right to choose their partners, the right to choose prophylactics, the right to choose Plan B prior to having a baby. There are so many choices that come before choosing to kill that child. And so we are equipping them with the right and hopefully going to support other alternatives to ending the life of that child. I know for me as a Black woman who is also a mother who did choose life, and as someone who was told to be aborted by my own biological mother because she was addicted to drugs and alcohol, I am glad that I'm here today, and I'm glad that Hoosier elected Republicans are standing up for that right. So there are a lot of choices that they make before we get to choosing to have an abortion. And I'm hopeful that the Hoosiers in this state are making good decisions and good choices prior to making that type of a choice.
Brian?
Well, Willie, I'm glad you're here too.
Go ahead.
But the fact is, your mom had the choice. And that's what all women should have, is the choice to choose either to have an abortion or not to have an abortion. This is about a woman having that choice, treating women like first-class citizens, treating women like adults, and not having some politician telling them what to do with their bodies. Now, I really believe women, and I trust women.
We're protecting the lives of the innocent and giving them a choice as well. That's what we're doing. And it's okay if your party, the party of extreme leftism, the party of calling men,
okay, here we go with the
all
ad hominem.
All of these different things don't understand the value in life, but I do.
Well, first of all, I do understand the value of all lives, including women. And women have a right to choose, and they should have the right to choose what goes on with their bodies, and not some politician telling them what to do with their bodies. And I'll be the first to admit, this is without a doubt the most emotional issue in all of American politics, and which is the issue of abortion and the right to choose or the right to life. And I think I wish we could come together on this issue and stop with the bomb throwing and the name calling and trying to besmirch other people's motives.
Good point, Brian.
Because it's really childish, and I really think we should get beyond. Oh, you want to kill babies? It's just really ridiculous. I've yet to meet anybody
that's
pro-choice that wants to kill babies.
Well,
there's a debate about that.
That's actually what's happening. That's what's happening. So it may be ridiculous to you, but that's literally what is happening, specifically in communities like ours, specifically in communities that look like us. We're eradicating our own children because we think that having a child born in adversity or not born in adversity and aborting them is better than having them to grow up and to go through obstacles and to turn those obstacles into opportunities. You guys are peddling victimization, and you're peddling abortion as a culture
that
basically remedies bad decision making, and I don't like it.
I would imagine.
Really, I'm probably more conservative than you in some respect, so you can stop with the silly.
Let me just jump in, because if this conversation is a microcosm of what we're going to see over the next couple of weeks, guys, if this conversation is a microcosm of what we're going to see over the next couple of weeks, I would imagine you both think this is going to be pretty contentious. Brian, go.
Well, it's going to be contentious if we have absurd, asinine rhetoric that I'm hearing from my good friend Whitley Yates, who's accusing people wanting to kill babies. I mean, that's just ridiculous. You know, we need to turn down the temperature. The rhetoric is too hot. And Whitley, your rhetoric right now is hotter than the weather is outside. You need to cool off.
Whitley, 30 seconds, close us out.
Listen, when you look this good, you can have hot rhetoric. The truth of the matter is we've been listening.
Now, I'm handsome too, so my rhetoric's not as hot as yours.
And I think it's going to continue to be a hot button issue. And I don't think that we're going to be able to meet on it, but I think we're going to do what's best for Hoosiers once this special session starts.
You both look
well,
very
what's best
good.
For Hoosiers giving Hoosier women the right to choose and have the right to control their own bodies
right,
and
well,
treating
we'll
them like
the
adults that they are.
We'll see what
that's
happens.
What's best for
you
Hoosier
both
women.
Look excellent today. Thank you very much. Good conversation. We'll talk to you soon. And
thank
we
you.
Will be
thank
right
you.
Back.
Thank you.
Take All Indiana Politics on the go with you. Download our podcast now. Part of the All Indiana Podcast Network and allindianapodcastnetwork.com.
Thank you for joining us for All Indiana Politics this weekend. We'll be back here next Sunday morning at 9:30, and we'll be with you for every minute of the special session at the State House. Have a great rest of your weekend.
From Wish TV, this is All Indiana Politics Podcast on the All Indiana Podcast Network. Watch All Indiana Politics live Sunday mornings at 9:30 on Wish TV and at wishtv.com. Subscribe to this podcast and listen weekly here on the All Indiana Podcast Network. And be sure to discover even more great podcasts at allindianapodcastnetwork.com.